This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. 24 hours later, still just as fun. You have your two beautiful podcast hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast.
It's true. And just want to start this episode off by saying thank you, everyone.
Thank you, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm only half sorry. Like, it's been a crazy week.
We went really hard.
Yeah. If anyone's keeping up with our personal Instagrams, we were in Disney with our children for the first time, which was great. And, Bennett and Marlo's first time, not yes. Scarlett's first time?
No, not Scarlett's first time, because yes, she was correct. 2 when we moved. But
yeah,
for her first time of, like, really being excited and, like, knowing a lot of things and
being
people
a guest,
and stuff.
A real guest.
Yeah, and also we're at a wedding as well, and we partied very hard at the wedding.
Also, traveling is just never easy.
Exhausting.
So going from Florida to Chicago and or Orlando to Chicago and Orlando back up to Chattanooga. So we're home. Yeah. We made it. Mm-hmm. And thank you all for being a part of this journey. If you're listening and you're like, whoa, I had no idea, follow us at Grey's Academy Pod, at carmen.gabriel.official, at Catically Kelsey, and make sure to follow Instagram updates, because not only are they shared to the main Instagram, but we both share them on our personal Instagrams as well. So follow along.
Yes, please. And then you can also follow all of our silly shenanigans, like being in Disney World and going to the wedding.
Yes.
And just being goobers all of the time.
Goobers. Also, do you have some, do you want to make the announcement? Do you want to make the special shout out announcement of our new friend?
Oh, yes. We have a new Patreon. Wow, that was incredible. Yes, we have both been talking to our new friend. I'm going to say Danny. Her name is Her full name is Danielle, but her thing said Danny on it. So I'm going to say Danny. Shout out.
Shout out.
Danny is really cool. She just found our podcast and she's been listening to it at work. I guess I probably shouldn't say what she does, because I'm not going to give
let's
away
keep
all
it
of
that.
Her real life. She's been telling me about her job, and it's really cool. Also, her second child was born 2 days after Bennett. So
hey-o.
We're in a very similar place right now with that journey. So
yeah.
So that's fun. Anyway, so shout out. Yay, new Patreon friends. You can find our Patreon link in the show notes or the Instagram bio.
And let me just tell you, I am cruising through Scandal, so get ready for some hot, stanky content coming soon. We got to get that going. Man, I'm not going to say it out loud, but man, some shit is going down.
I cannot wait to hear.
Yeah. But in the same breath, Danny was we were messaging on Instagram as well. Shout out. Thanks for the kind words. There was another podcast that she was listening to, and she's like, you guys are just so much fucking better than these guys. She didn't say fucking, and she didn't say so much, but she did say way better, and those fuckers. So I'm kidding. Oh, I'm not going to say which one it was, but she did say that our banter kept us here, so thank you. And it helps that we're like best friends, and our kids are like each other's god kids, and it's like we've known each other for a long time.
Also, they're just so cute when they're together.
Seriously, it's insane. It's stupid. It's unfair,
it's
truly.
So dumb. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else about this show.
Do you want to tell everyone what the plan tonight? New plan?
Yeah, so this is a big episode. If you're a Grey's fan, you remember this one, right? The two-parter in season four, you remember. You know.
You remember. I don't, but you do.
Because our last two episodes have already been upwards of 2 hours, we are anticipating this again. So we are going to try to split this into two one-hour episodes that will be released at the same time. So if you are listening to this, just double make sure that you are listening to them in the right order. So this is going to be Crash Into Me part 1, and Crash Into Me part 1, part 2. And then next week we'll probably have Crash Into Me part 2, part 1, and Crash Into Me part 2, part 2. We didn't think that through.
No, I did. I laughed at it out loud when I was telling it to myself too. But I think just to make it easier, instead of saying part 1, part 1 and part 1, part 2 and blah, blah, that other shit that's just so funny, I'm just going to do part 1 (1), part 1 (2).
That makes sense.
So this way we're not saying part as many times as we have episodes.
Part 1, part 1, part 1, part 2. Part 2, part 1. Okay. If you're seeing this, if you're listening to this in real time, just double make sure that you're listening to the episodes in the right order. And if you're seeing this a million years from now, then you're probably fine. It probably is just playing in the right order. I don't know. Okay. So shall we get into it? Do we have anything else to say?
If you are a new listener and you've been turned on to us by our dear friends over at Morning Cup of Murder, welcome. You listen to a wonderful podcast, and Karina is a queen. Thank you all for joining. We promise to be the best stewards of your auditory experience as we can. That's it. That's all I got. Yeah. You're like, I'm snacking.
Yeah, I really need the pretzel. Milk chocolate covered pretzels from Trader Joe's. I firmly believe these are the best chocolate covered pretzels in the world.
That's high praise.
I'm pretty confident in it. Sorry. Okay. Let's talk about Grey's Anatomy. Woohoo! Woohoo! Okay. This is the 9th episode of the 4th season and the 70th episode overall. And it is called Crash Into Me. Crash Into Me, and that's the song.
It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
If it wasn't a song, you should write that one.
Oh,
I listened to it. Crash Into Me is a song by the famous Dave Matthews Band. Spoiler alert: I think they're overrated. I've never been a huge fan of Dave
Matthews Band. Was this song already on your phone though?
No, and okay.
I was like 50-50. I could see it going either way.
Here's the thing. I know the song. I've listened to the song. It's a very, like, if you've ever heard...
We were alive
heard,
in the 90s and early 2000s, and we've been around radios, so we know it.
Yeah. And it's been in probably a million, billion, trillion episodes of any show or movie. If it was a show made in the 90s or early 2000s, this song has a 50-50 shot of being in it. Although, I guess while I'm saying that out loud, every song in the history of the planet has a 50-50 shot of being in it. It's either it's in it or it's not in it. That's how odds work.
Good job.
I'm a mathematician. This is going
You're
wonderfully.
Crushing it.
Anyways, it's off the third album. It was released December 1996. The third album, it's the third single from their second album, Crash. So the other singles from this was So Much to Say, Crash Into Me, and Two Step. Now, the charting on this, it reached as high as number 7 in the United States alternative Billboard, and it reached as high as number 9 on the adult top 40. I'm not seeing anything for the album, although if you guys want to give me a second, I could probably pull that up to see the charting. Just real quick, yep, I got it. It hit number 2 on the U.S. Billboard 200. So the album itself hit as high as number 2. This particular single reached as high as number 7. The lyrics for this song, again, it's one of those ones where if you ever heard a movie or if you ever listened to Dave Matthews Band for more than 5 seconds, you would know this one. But there's this line that I kind of had to take a double take on because I was like, did I hear that right? Because, again, not a Dave Matthews Band, not super familiar with all these lyrics. But it says, into your heart I'll beat again, sweet like candy to my soul. Sweet you rock and sweet you roll, lost for you, I'm so lost for you. The chorus, you come crash into me and I come into you. In a boy's dream, in a boy's dream.
Dirty.
Sexual. Coming into you in a boy's dream.
Remember when your wife yelled in the wedding? That was...
She goes, yeah. I heard that all the way in the back row.
Were you so proud?
I was proud, but also Jessica does this all the time where she thinks that she's being quiet because she's deaf.
Well, yeah, she's deaf.
Yeah. But it is funny to listen to her and people are like, you know, it's endearing. It's endearing at this point. So anyways, that's what I got. Also, again, I'm not downloading the song. The song is fine. Okay. As an individual, it's a fine song.
I can just sing it to myself if I need to listen to it. Exactly. I don't need it on my phone.
And quite frankly, you'll do a better job. No offense, Dave Matthews fans. I'm sorry. Dave Matthews. And listen, Jimmy Buffett and Dave Matthews, overrated. Never been a big fan. So if we ever have a Jimmy Buffett song as a title,
I feel like we have to at some point. I really don't know off the top of my head, but I feel like there's just so many.
Yeah. So just fair warning to all of you out there. I apologize if I'm offending any of you. So anyways, Kelsey, back to you.
Oh, cold chill. Okay. I'm stressed, guys. There's like tornado warnings in 35 states right now, and we are one of them, and we already had one last night, so my brain is frazzled, but it's fine. We've got a bathroom to hide in, so it's so great.
And you're going to bring the recording equipment into the bathroom, worst case scenario.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, because if there's a tornado, for sure my internet will continue to work. Okay, this episode was written by, this is a good one, Shonda Rhimes and Krista Viernoff together.
Wow.
The two queens.
Have we seen an episode where they did it together? They wrote this one together?
I believe this is the first one they wrote together.
Is this going to start some Lennon-McCartney shit? Is this what's happening? Do they become
Beatles?
No, I mean,
Krista Viernoff has already been on the series, and she's written other episodes. This is just the first one they wrote together.
That's what I'm saying. This is going to be a whole new can of worms they're opening. I'm excited for this. It's a great episode. They did a great job.
Yeah. Directed by Michael Grossman. Aired November 22nd, 2007. 14.11 million views. So down a bit, but also probably like this is Thanksgiving. So
oh,
that's
yeah.
probably why.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, the Netflix synopsis. Let's see what gems Netflix has used to describe this episode. An ambulance crash endangers the lives of the paramedics involved, and Bailey treats a patient who refuses her help.
Little misleading on that one. It's
I would
not
say an
just
ambulance
refusing.
Crash endangers the lives of the paramedics involved. That's like the main point of the episode. And then you can be like, Alex plays with fire
and is gonna get burned.
Yeah,
but luckily there's a whole bunch of aortic valve blood to douse the fire. Am I right?
Okay, I mean, yes. Alrighty.
Well, not aortic valve, that's in the heart.
The carotid artery.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Spoilers.
Spoilies. Okay, Guys, they found Alec Murdaugh guilty. Okay, sorry. I'm
yeah, Jessica told me that. Jessica was telling me that too. I have no idea.
Listen, it's wild. We can do a Patreon about that because I like knew very little about it, and I did a deep dive into it, and holy shit, is it wild! Like the turns and the twists, they're just nonstop. Okay, so first, we will recap this episode for you. This is the episode where everyone is minding their own business and unloading an ambulance, and another ambulance plows into the ambulance bay at full speed, hits the first ambulance, and the first ambulance flips upside down. And it's bad.
Terrible. That's pretty much.
Also, this episode is the one where Bailey has to operate on the guy with a giant swastika tattoo on his abdomen like a psychopath.
Which, let me just tell you, I did not see that coming.
Are you making Nazi jokes? It's 2020.
I did not intend to. I didn't intend to. But as I said it, I was like, I need to stop because it's a pun. But there was no pun intended when I said that. Okay. I did not see with my eyes that coming. But I was like, dang, okay, this dude is racist. But like, why? Because I was so confused because his partner is a black woman.
Yeah.
But that's why I was like, then I thought maybe there's something like he's got like a deformity and he's embarrassed, like really embarrassed. But I didn't see the swastika coming. I didn't.
Yeah, that's because no one's assumption is ever going to be this person for sure has a swastika tattoo. And that's what they're
giant,
hiding.
Giant swastika tattoo.
The literal size of his abdomen.
Yeah. But okay, so then we meet Dr. Evil's son,
Seth Green.
Yes,
pretty big name for a cameo.
It's pretty short. It's only four letters.
Seth Green is he's pretty famous at this point. Like Family Guy's been on a while. He did what was that other show? Chicken Robot Chicken. That was him, right?
I think so. And then he also did. Wait, hold on. Did he?
Did he not? He did something like that.
Are you thinking Seth MacFarlane?
No, Seth MacFarlane also did Family Guy, but Seth MacFarlane did not do Robot Chicken.
Right, but okay, yeah, okay.
Seth Green is the voice of Chris on Family Guy. Hand to God.
Are you serious?
I'm so serious.
Wow! I didn't know that. Wow, I'm like not fucking with you right now. I did not know that. That's okay, incredible. Yes. Okay, well, yeah, all right, great. But he was also, he's in a ton of stuff. He was in, again, Austin Powers. He was in Sex Drive.
Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters
Scooby-Doo,
Unleashed.
Yep. That's most famous for his role in Scooby-Doo 2, sure. Monsters Unleashed.
The original It, which I will never watch.
Yeah, nope, too scary.
Yeah, so many things. But yeah, he did do Robot Chicken. I was right. I did not make that up.
He's in a ton of stuff and I recognized him right away and I was glad that he was there. But then we also have
He was there.
I'm glad that he was there. Yeah. Nice friendly face, friendly, familiar face. But I also recognize that Jacob guy. He came in with some heart issues, ends up getting a piece of shrapnel in his leg.
Like you do when you go to the heart, when you go to the hospital for heart pains and then you have shrapnel in your leg.
Yeah. The return of Ava.
Yet again.
What else do we have? A lot of Rose in this episode. A lot of good Rose moments. There
was
a burp.
That's what I think about Rose.
Yep. And
I think those are the main ones. So this is the recap that that ABC presented us before the show aired on network television in 2007. Derek has decided to date. Izzy and George, I guess, are broken up. Bailey is chief resident. Rose is there.
They're broken up?
So at the end of last episode, they're like, I would just want my best friend back. And then in this episode, she goes into a room where he is sleeping on the floor in a sleeping bag. If they are together, he is asleep in her bed.
Did I not even watch this episode? I saw that. I saw that scene. How did I not realize that? I thought that, well, he was in a sleeping bag. He wasn't just joking around? I thought she walked back into, I thought she left her room to watch Meredith and Christina dance and went back to her room.
No, because she went to another room.
But she even said, we should be happy.
Yeah, because they're best friends and she's jealous of Meredith and Christina being best friends.
So they're broken up?
I'm like, I'm going to be honest. I'm not 100% confident, but I feel pretty confident.
What the fuck? Gosh, this is all okay. You know what? All of you listeners out there, this is real. I don't understand what's happening.
It's very confused.
I am so confused.
Okay, hold on.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I believe it. If that's the case, I believe it. But I didn't see that coming.
Yes, you did.
I mean,
they're not going to stay together.
But not like this. I thought they'd have a big, like, falling out. They just, they talked and said, I want my best friend back. And then that was it. That's, we're supposed to be, we're led to believe they broke up. They're not just having a lover's quarrel or something. Or maybe George gets his best reading done in a sleeping bag on the ground. I don't know. Okay, we have stuff to talk about. I can't be derailed by this because I could just sit here and let this ruin my whole mood. What do you want to talk about first? Who are we starting with? Should we start with fucking George and Izzy, I guess?
Yes. They're pretty sure they're, yeah, okay, confirmed. They're broken up.
Sheesh. Damn. Rest in peace. Was it a prediction? I said they wouldn't make it past the end of season four, so I win, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe in the next episode, there's like a more finality to it.
Finality. But it's like happening. Nice. Perfect. Such a good word. Finality. All right. So
finality.
I am really annoyed with Izzy all this episode because she's like, I'm going to go be hardcore. And then it's just her brown nosing to Han and Han shooting it down and Christina being pissed at her like, dude, just shut the fuck up. And she like, do my thing. You do your thing. Yeah. We're good. I didn't like that storyline.
I kind of appreciated at least that Han was not like, she didn't seem really disrespectful towards Christina in this episode, as we have previously seen, other than when Bailey pulls her off and then Christina like starts to be like, what? And she's like, just take it up with Bailey.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is fair. She doesn't know. She didn't ask any questions about it. So, yeah. Han.
The only note I wrote for George this whole episode is that I actually like George and Derek in the same scenes together.
Yeah, this was not a terrible episode for George. I feel like we're at a turning point where maybe we won't hate him anymore. I'm trying to remember, like, maybe something else happens and we'll hate him again, but I feel like we're at an okay spot where we're at the very least we're going to be tolerating him.
I don't hate him as much. He's still my least favorite character on this show, but he's not terrible in everything he does. Also because there was, I don't remember what he did, but when Izzy, so the scene, what were the notes I wrote this? So obviously Izzy was mad at Meredith and Christina, blah, blah, blah. They're dancing. They have a tight friendship. And George is like, shut the fuck up. Like, do you want to dance? I don't understand what your problem is. And then she's like, nah, I'm going to work, blah, blah, blah. And he does something with a book. I don't remember what he does, but like he has a little bit of physical comedy there where he like just throws his fucking book or he like puts it on his face or something.
Yeah,
George,
he like put it on his face.
You're funny. Do more of the physical comedy shit. Let's do that.
Yeah. I'd also, he was doing good this episode with everybody, with Derek and with Bailey. And also it annoys me when Izzy is mad that Meredith and Christina are friends. Like everyone's going to have friends and sometimes you're tighter friends with some friends than other friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Friend.
You know, it just doesn't have to be a thing.
Yeah, it doesn't. And
like
it's okay.
She's better friends with George, and if anyone had tried to be better friends with George than her, she would have lost her ever-loving mind. So,
someone tried to marry him, and she lost her mind.
She really did. You have made a terrible mistake.
Gosh, I know Meredith is dead in there, and it's okay because George, you made a terrible mistake, and now is my time to tell you. And then later, I will fuck you and ruin your marriage.
Ha ha! The long con.
Ha ha ha! Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Mandark.
Izzy's just not. Izzy's really my least favorite. I know George is your least favorite, but Izzy's really my least favorite.
And that's
I think I probably hate Izzy more than I hate Derek.
Wow.
Yeah. I feel like I don't talk about it as much because there's less people in the world that are obsessed with her. In my opinion, I feel like a lot of people really love Derek. And I feel like I need to present evidence to the contrary. And I feel as though enough
this is your
people
cross to
already,
bear.
Already know that Izzy kind of sucks. So I don't really need to convince anybody on that
this
front.
Is really the reason you made the podcast. You're like,
yeah,
let's
so.
Do this podcast, Carmen, so that
I
can just convince one
lives.
More person. Yeah. You're going to be the vessel at which I change lives around Derek's perception. This is great.
You know what?
Anyways.
No regrets.
Do you want to talk about Christina in this episode real quick? Any thoughts you have specifically with your girl?
You know, there's not really much for her here.
It's not a lot.
I love the dancing it out at the beginning. Dancing makes you brave. Shut up. Dance.
I did like that.
Yeah, it's good. She's like, stop talking about it. I just don't give a shit about Derek. We're dancing. We're dancing our problems away. Dancing.
It's great. What song are they dancing to?
Sorry, this is an audio podcast, guys, but you'll have to take Carmen's word for it. My
dancing
is impeccable.
Also, there's so many facial expressions lost. So many facial expressions lost in this podcast because we give each other a lot of looks, and there's a lot of facial things that we don't get to share on this auditory podcast. But anyways,
it's
we respect
true.
That.
I make a lot of faces.
That's true. Okay, Izzy, Christina, George, Meredith and Derek. What the fuck?
She wants to tell him not to see other people. She wants to tell him that they are going to be exclusive, that she's putting in the work, that she sees that he is dating other people, but she thinks she can be the people that he is dating. And I want that for her if she is ready.
If she is ready.
Is ready, which he has done no work on himself ever because he thinks he is perfect, but it's fine.
At least he knows what he wants. That's his whole argument. He's like, I know what I want. So because of that, I'm healed. And Meredith's only downfall is she doesn't know what she wants. No, she wants what she wants. She knows what she wants. She just doesn't do it.
Well,
they both have to do work.
She needs, yes, she has some other things to address. But also, as a couple, they have things to address because truly they've never addressed the whole lying about being married thing.
In season 7, I predict that that's going to be the entire season. The entire season is them talking about Addison. And Addison comes back for one episode. Derek cheats on Meredith with Addison. She gets pregnant with the one egg she has left.
This is a wild prediction.
That's how...
Also, we have got to start watching Private Practice. We have like 5 episodes until she shows back up in Grey's Anatomy.
Fuck. Good thing I have a lot of time on my hands.
Yikes. You really don't. You've got this weekend.
Yeah, and I'm on solo Marlo duty all weekend.
Cool.
We got this. Perfect.
Maybe at your new job, you can just watch Private Practice.
I hope so. Although, I'll tell you what, the guy... who I recognize from Scrubs, who's in Private Practice, is in Scandal right now.
Which guy?
The guy who fell in love with the girl who stole his Porsche or something.
Oh, yeah, Cooper. Yeah, he's wildly different on Scandal.
Oh, yeah. He's
one of my favorites.
So, anyways, not going to tell you what I think about it. Not going to tell you what's going on. Spoiler alert, check out Patreon.
Okay, so they're dancing it out. Yeah, there's not much with Christina this episode. She's kind of getting in with Han without really any issue, which is good for her. And then, of course, that kind of goes off the rails, which is a bummer. We do learn a little bit about Christina, that her stepfather's parents died in Auschwitz, which we knew she was Jewish as per her relationship with Burke when they don't celebrate Christmas.
Yep.
So just a little bit more insight, which we love any insight on anybody. We love the backstories on anybody. I feel like we got some other backstory this episode. So I'm forgetting who it was.
Well, we didn't get a lot of backstory, but we see Bailey and her husband.
Yeah,
Tuck.
He sucks.
Oh, really? Interesting. Because I'm on Team Tuck.
I know
Civil
that's
War.
Really not true.
No, I'm on Team Bailey, but I understand where he's coming from. I understand
his frustration. I'm on Team Communicate in your relationship.
Yes, that's a good point. So, okay,
and also go into things with the appropriate expectations.
Yes. What I was gathering from that, and please tell me if I'm wrong, which I know that you will.
That I did. It's my favorite pastime.
I'm assuming that he's a stay-at-home dad because of Bailey's career.
At that's what, because he was before. I feel like she said he worked at a, I could be remembering this wrong. I feel like she said he worked at a bank previously, gave birth. The implication is that they decided that he would stay home with the baby. There is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with both people working. What there is wrong with is agreeing to that and then being mean about it to the other person when you fully agreed to it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And again, if you're in a place where it's not what you want, you're not happy anymore, or you need something else from your partner or whatever, you want to go back to work, that's also fine. But you can communicate that like an adult and not like a passive aggressive teenager.
Yeah. What she had said something along the lines of, like, I'm doing schedules, and he's like, I'm doing fucking dishes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and? So what? But, like, also, just, I understand as someone who has not had that part of their life for the last 4 months, which is very different because I did not choose that. And also, we have daycare where Marlo is still going every day. I understand how there can be resentment building up, and I can understand expectations being formed and all of that, but communicate. And I'm assuming in their marriage right now, the backstory they're building up, there is no communication happening. There is no creating a safe expectation. But my guess is divorce. I'm going to assume I'm predicting divorce.
You want to put a timestamp on that?
By season 19.
Okay. You want to put a better one on that?
I'm gonna say before the end of, I'm gonna give it another season, before the end of season 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Divorce.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, that's just a bummer. They've alluded to this in the show, and really also in every medical show, there's always someone that's like, oh, you can't date anyone who's not a doctor because like they don't understand. And I don't understand because I am not a doctor. I am related by marriage to a doctor who is excellent at work-life balance and has an excellent and incredible schedule and draws very firm boundaries with his work. And I think that's really cool. So there's just different situations for everybody. I don't think he works at like a trauma center, so I don't know. That's probably the biggest thing with Grays is that it's supposed to be like, this is where all the emergencies come and this is where all the ambulances crash into each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just feel like there are obviously a lot of like tropes in medical dramas that like there's just, it's so impossible to have a life if you're a doctor. And I would never say that being a doctor isn't like a high demand job, because it is. Especially the past 3 years, with COVID and everything, this, anyone in healthcare has gone through something I'm sure no one ever imagined. And so it definitely is a high demand job, but I do think there are times in television shows where they push it and they kind of make it seem like the whole thing with Ellis, you know, you can't have both, like you can't have the career and you can't have a family or whatever, but luckily, there are people who are able to do both, and props to them, because I am sure it takes a lot of work.
Yeah. And that's with any high demand job, you know, or honestly, any job, period. You have to choose your family. It's not easy. You have to choose what you want and make it happen.
And I think there's also it has to be from on both ends, like your partner has to like
right.
it. If you are a doctor, like your partner is going to have to know, like, okay, you're going to be at days where you're going to have to get pages and leave to go save people's literal lives.
Literal lives, yeah.
So there's definitely a bunch. There's definitely complexities and layers to it. It's like an onion.
Yeah, it's like an ogre. So,
yeah, and parfait.
Yeah. With that being said, before we jump into, I think, Lexi and Alex and Ava and that love triangle, a quick message from our regional sponsors, and we'll be back after that. And we are back. It's wonderful.
Here we are.
Everything is
incredible. Hopefully there was a sponsor. Maybe there was silence.
Yeah. If it was silence for you, take a minute to meditate. Take a minute to remember all of our fallen Alex, Ava, and Lexi storylines about to go down right now. What are your thoughts on this whole situation?
I think I understand that Lexi's feelings are hurt. But she understands, she should understand that he explicitly said, I am hung up on somebody else. Now, he did not say, I am still fucking somebody else. Which is on him. Again, right.
Communication.
But, you know, it's just, it is what it is. He was pretty upfront about not being in a relationship. And yeah, he didn't say he was having sex with anyone else. He didn't ever, I don't think she had any right to think they were exclusive. But I also think it's valid for her feelings to be hurt.
I'm just confused at why he keeps making so many passes towards her. And like the, oh yeah, there was an episode where she was like, oh yeah, I came to see the baby or something. He's like, no, you came down here because your legs are still not working because of how I fucked you. And then he kisses her in the hallway with everyone watching. Meredith sees it. And he's leading her on a little bit, which I think makes Alex in the wrong on this one.
I think he's just a horny boy.
But horny boys lead girls on.
Yeah, that's, well, here's the thing. Again, he was pretty upfront. Like, I'm not what you want. I'm not gonna, like, be your boyfriend. I'm not gonna be in your bullshit drama. But I'll, like, fuck you and kiss you. And that's pretty much what he's done.
Yeah, true to Alex's form, true to his word. I guess, because he's being honest, is this good guy Alex? Is honest Alex good guy Alex? Or is he still bad guy Alex?
Hard to say. Yeah.
When is honesty good and when is honesty bad?
It's not best guy, Alex.
It's just Alex.
It's fine, Alex.
It's okay.
It's Alex with who could use some help in therapy, probably.
Yeah. But luckily for him, he knows what it takes to raise an alcoholic parent. So he can give Lexi some tips, which is great for their
relationship.
Yeah,
that was also in the recap, but they didn't really touch on it again in this bit.
Yeah, well, Thatcher was there for like a second and that was it.
Yeah. Well, in when Meredith and Derek were like finishing up their closet sex, she says something about, oh, like, it's fine if Thatcher's drunk. He's not my problem. Lexi's not my problem. And yet again, we have someone call her out. Like, if you don't care, then why do you literally never stop talking about it?
Yeah.
Which is
good job,
question.
Derek, calling it out. We need answers, yeah. People.
Yeah, we need a lot, like therapy. Need a lot. Everyone in this hospital should be lining up in between surgeries for therapy. Or maybe they could put a therapist in the OR and they can all have their therapy sessions whilst they cut people open.
Bring back Norman. Bring back Norman.
Norman. What a gem.
I want to see him come back to the show as Mr. Gilmore.
Mm. That
and
unfortunately
they go,
does not happen.
You look like someone that we used to know work here.
Somebody that I used to know. So yes, Alex and Lexi, she is like into, she's flirting with Seth Green. Seth Green's flirting with her, but she's like, oh, I'm like dating this guy and he seems like a jerk, but he's secretly a nice guy. Which, you know, we definitely have seen both of those sides of Alex. So we understand how she's gotten there. And Seth Green has also had a previous relationship end poorly where his ex-girlfriend broke up with him because he had a big old gross tumor on his neck.
I guess. The exact words was she was a vapid narcissist, which,
you know,
great
so,
use of the word.
So
vapid.
Is Carmen. And yet he gets to be married. So.
Interesting.
Some people just make it work, I guess.
I don't have a tumor on my neck anymore. Thanks, Dr. Sloan.
That must be it. That would be the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, honestly, Jess, without the tumor, that's the only thing keeping Jessica and Marlo in my life.
Yeah, so don't grow a tumor on your neck. So yeah, I guess we could say specifically, so he had a tumor on his neck that was cutting into his artery. So Sloan had to go in and like clear it all out. And because of that, there is the titsiest bit of skin protecting his carotid artery, which if you know anything about medicine, you know that like that's a pretty bad artery to have exposed or cut, as like all of your blood can pour out of it in like less than 2.5 minutes, I think is the number. It's that, and then like the one in your thigh. It's like a femoral artery.
Yeah, that's the one. And those are the two that if you've ever watched any like war movie, that's the one where they're like, okay, it's your carotid, it's your femoral, you're toast, you're done.
Nothing to be done.
Nothing to be done. Here's the thing. Terrible foreshadowing, because the second they introduce him, you know that thing's going to rupture.
Yes, tell me your thoughts.
So they get him in the room. Everyone's there. And Mark is like, hey, guys, if this thing explodes like an oil geyser striking oil, fix it, then page me, in that order. Now, here's the thing. I would want him running up there while they're trying to fix the bleeding. Because what if the bleeding never stops? He just gets the page that he's dead.
Well, here's the thing. I think if you're in there alone, the priority is not make the phone call. The priority is do your best and then hopefully like yell for help or get someone at some point to assist. And Paige
yelling Mark. Should be good enough. They're yelling and say, Paige, Dr. Sloan, or help, or this guy's gonna die, or something. You could obviously scream any one of a billion things. Just
it
not
does
fire.
Feel like maybe more than one person should be in there at all times.
They should have a security guard standing there at all times, or Mark should just stay there at all times and just sleep in the bed next to him. No, I'm kidding.
Busy.
I'm kidding.
But it is so. Yes. What were your thoughts? Obviously, that it was going to blow.
So here's the thing. When him and Lexi were talking at the end of the episode, I paused and I was like, how much time is left in this episode? And it was like a minute and 30 seconds. And I was like, I wrote specifically, it's going to explode right now.
Here it comes.
Yes. I knew. So Shonda and Krista, listen, you guys did a great job with this episode overall. But this last 2 minutes of the show, she takes the thing off. The bandage comes off. It's not, we're going to check the wound. She's totally redoing it. It's off. It's exposed. They zoom in almost. They might as well have zoomed in on it starting to pulsate. I'm like, it's coming. This is easy. Writing's on the wall, just like the blood is on the wall. Okay.
Well, and we have to make, I mean, there has to be, it's a two-part episode. There has to be a cliffhanger.
Exactly.
That is a very good cliffhanger. Like, let's
it's
be
great.
Real.
It's a great
cliffhanger. I remember watching this episode on air, right?
Did you know it was coming? Did you know that the explosion was like, this guy is going to burst? Did you feel it too?
I was like, yeah, this is obviously like, there's a lot happening in this episode. We're out here killing paramedics. We're out here being shitty racists. Like, there was a lot going on. They were not pulling any punches in this one. Like, it was just all out for everybody. Again, this is around the right. This was written and filmed before the writer's strike, but aired during the writer's strike. It was billed as like a two-part episode. So obviously we knew going in, like there was going to be some kind of cliffhanger because that's the way they do it. At this, also just to clarify, at this point, Carmen has only seen the first part. He has not yet seen. He is experiencing this the way we all experienced it. He has watched it and now we'll have to wait a couple days to watch again. Well, probably 5 days till we watch the next one, 5 or 6.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm going to make him sit and be antsy about it.
I am. And here's the thing that I liked about that scene is like they spared no expense with that blood. They said, how much fake blood can we get, guys? Spew it across the room. It's
like,
all over Lexi.
Our entire budget right now on this
great.
Blood.
So I was a fan of it. The pulsating, the explosion right on his neck is great. I don't want him to die. But I've got a feeling he's gonna die. I think everyone in this episode that we've met is going to die, except for the ambulance driver with seizures. She seems like she's got something that can fix. Everyone else is gonna die. Oh wait, Nazi guy lives. He's gonna have to live, but we'll talk about that later. But yeah, no, I thought it was funny. They made him a really good, likable character, so that if he does die, it's going to be a sad situation. He did not hide at all the hots he had for Lexi. I respect that, because he was nice about it. He wasn't like a creepy guy. He was just flirty and, you know, doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I got for him. That's all the notes I have for Seth Green.
Nicholas. Nick with the neck.
Necky Nick.
Nice. Okay, so all for Nick. So, yeah, you think he's going to... Wow. A bold move to say everyone's going to die except for the two paramedics.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. Should we move
got
on
Jacob.
To...
We got Jacob. We got...
Han and Mark.
Yep, Han and Mark. Love that.
Okay, wait, we talked about Lexi and Alex. We didn't really talk about Ava.
She just forces him. She's like, hey, sneak me in.
Also, she shows back up and he's just like, yes, right back into it.
I didn't really get that vibe. I feel like he was annoyed. Like, why are you here?
You don't think they just went to bone?
I don't think so.
They did. They for sure were boning.
What? Did they show that?
No. I guess she wanted to, and then she was... But here's the thing. I just feel like...
Did you just spoil part two?
They already
boned.
Part two...
No, but I mean... Yeah, no. Not in this episode they didn't. Did they bone in the next episode? Does he have a threesome with Ace, with Ava and Lexi? That's my prediction, everyone. In the next episode, Alex, Ava,
dream,
and
I'm
Lexi.
Sure.
Not for Alex.
You don't think that's Alex's dream?
Oh, I thought you were saying that's my dream. My dream is for Alex to have a threesome with that. And so I thought you were saying.
No. Well, you want everyone to have threesomes.
I want everyone to have sex. No one else gets to have a threesome until I get a threesome.
Well, you're not trying to have threesomes, though, so I feel like it doesn't really track.
We should make an app.
Okay.
And it's just called Threesomes.
I'm afraid of where this is going.
It's like Tinder for threesomes, and you have to sign up as a couple.
That's like mostly... Oh, there's a lot of people on the apps looking for thirds.
Okay, all right. Missed my calling.
Who was I just talking to about this? I don't remember, but like, because there's so many dating apps, right? There's Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, and Grindr. And then there's one, I think it's either called She or Her, and it's like Grindr, but for gay women. But a lot of people will just go on it, and they're signed up as couples looking for a third. But I agree, there should just be an app for that, because like... There are genuinely just people trying to like find significant others on these apps. And then other people are on here just being like, and sometimes they'll put it on their profile, like, oh, looking for a third. And sometimes these, like, I had a friend who would talk to people like back and forth and like for a day or two. And then the person would be like, oh, also I'm married and my husband and I just actually are trying to have a threesome. And she's like, that's not the vibe.
No,
so I agree. There should be an app just for that. And honestly, there probably already is. Let's be real.
If there isn't one, we made the idea and this is now eminent domain and we have it. Don't steal it. We trademarked it.
Don't take our stuff.
It's called
intellectual property theft.
Gray's Academy Threesome Finder. So
what a good branding name. It'd be so easy.
Goodness gracious. Okay. Anyways, I got the vibe that Alex was annoyed that Ava was there.
Interesting. But he still snuck her into the surgery.
Because she peer pressured him into it, and Alex didn't want to look like no punk in front of this girl. He looked annoyed the whole time to me.
But like, I just think if he really didn't want her to be there, then he wouldn't have snuck her into the surgery.
I guess... I don't know. I guess I'm torn while I'm thinking about it. I just don't because how long was that episode ago when he's like, I'm still hung up on someone else? That was like 3 or 4 episodes ago, right?
Yeah, it was just whenever the first one he sleeps with Lexi is.
And that, well, I guess in Gray's time, that's like 4 days ago.
Yeah, probably not very long.
Yeah, okay, so I guess he's probably not over Ava.
He's not, but it is weird that we, like, they kind of, like, they wait until we forget about her, and then they, like, bring her back in real quick.
Yeah. I gotta see what goes on with the next episode. It's definitely, he doesn't seem to care in the operating room when Izzy's like, oh, look at that, oh, you're in for a treat, and Alex is like, dude, shut the fuck up, I don't care. And then Han is even like, hey guys, shut up, this is important, go fuck yourselves. But... oh. I guess Alex really doesn't care that they see each other, because worst case scenario, Ava's not there. She's back with her life. She doesn't have a leg to stand on to be mad at him. Yeah. And to your point, Lexi doesn't have a leg to stand on to be mad at him, because he was upfront and honest from day one. I don't know. I got to see what happens next episode. Those are my thoughts, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm like, when she says, oh, he's just a jerk, like when Lexi says he's just a jerk, like, why? What has he done that makes him a jerk? Because, I mean, he was honest about being hung up on someone else. I guess the only thing is he didn't explicitly say, I'm still sleeping with the other person. But like, if they never had the conversation of being exclusive, but also she definitely seems like the type of person who just probably thinks anyone that she's sleeping with is only sleeping with her.
Maybe she tells people it's her boyfriend. Yeah, no, I do see that. It is that scene in general was a good scene, because I didn't expect Lexi to high ground it. Because Ava was like, oh yeah, no, I'm here for that doctor right there. And she was like, oh, Dr. Sloan, yeah, no, he's the best. And then she's like, no, that one. She points at Alex. And then Lexi was like, yeah, no, I don't know him. Don't know him at all.
Yeah, so
she high-roaded him.
It was big of her. She didn't out him, because, I mean, I don't think Ava would have taken that very well, let me tell you.
No. Anything else on that, on their love triangle? I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I wanted to say. Let me go with my Alex notes, my Alex notes section.
I mean, I'd love to hear what you think about it. Like, what you think's going to happen.
I don't think Ava's going to actually end up leaving her husband. I think that we have a Fitz and Olivia Pope and Melly situation on our hands, where Fitz, I guess this is showing where I'm at in the show, Fitz isn't going to leave Melly. He's just going to longingly love Olivia from far away and then go bone on the floor of a home in Vermont.
Yeah, like you do.
Like you do.
Sometimes you just have to build a house in the middle of nowhere so that you can take your mistress there and have sex with her amongst your furniture.
And your jam jars, your empty jam jars.
No jam for you.
No jam for you. Yeah, I don't think Ava's going to leave her husband. She's got a kid. Also, where is the kid?
Guessing with her husband.
Yeah, but like, she just, what is she telling her husband? Hey, I got to go see this guy out in Seattle. She's just buying, like, if Jessica just was gone and I'm taking care of Marlo, I'm going to need physical proof. I'm going to need to see Instagram stories of you being where you're at, because I'm not about to let you go cheat on me. No one's cheating on anyone in this family.
Well, that seems fair, but you should also trust each other. But he also probably does seem to be trusting her too much.
Yes.
But also, they were not in a good place before she lost her memories. So who's to say what's going on?
Well, yeah. I don't know at all. But that's one of the things I was like, okay, where the hell is the baby? I don't know what is going to happen with them. I don't like the storyline in general. I think it's a dumb storyline, personally. It adds drama. And obviously, it's like, oh, hey, welcome back, Ava, Rebecca, sorry, whatever your name is, whatever you're calling yourselves these days. Alex being with a woman who's married in general just seems dumb, because he's always seemed to not like that idea in general.
Okay. Well, what do you think? Who do you think he would be better with, Lexi or Ava?
Addison.
Okay, well, he should be so lucky.
I know, honestly, he doesn't even deserve that. He probably, I mean, I don't know, neither. That's Ava fair. Seems to really like him. Lexi seems to like the idea of him.
Yeah. But it's weird because of, I don't know, like she doesn't really go, she's not the kind of, from what we are presented by her, she doesn't seem to be the type of girl to be with an Alex, which is why he gives the speech of like, I'm not what you want.
Lexi's going to end up with George.
Okay.
Lexi.
George.
George. Okay. No, George O'Malley.
Yeah. No. Oh, thanks. Oh, okay. Thanks for clearing that up. Not George Santos.
No, not that one. Caligridis.
Oh, George Caligridis. That would be a twist.
Once ABC
he's pretty gay.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, he's gay. He's married to a man.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Good for him. Love is love.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, so when I'm sorry, Lexi and George are going to get together.
Yep, that's what I'm deciding. I'm deciding that I'm manifesting it. George and Lexi. And you're looking at me because you're giving me that look as like, how the fuck did he just guess that right? Because that's the whole plot of season 9 is their marriage. I'm incredible.
It's an audio podcast, but I assure you listeners, that's not my face.
She's overcorrecting to not show her hand.
When are they gonna get together?
Next episode, part two of Crash Into Me.
Bold. Okay. She's still covered in Nick's blood.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. She doesn't shower. It's part of the aphrodisiac.
Tasty.
Mm-hmm. It's right behind oysters as nature's aphrodisiac. The blood of a carotid artery of a man who is reddish tinted hair.
That's so specific. Thank you for that.
It's why? Why am I like the way I am?
I would to know why you are the way that you are. Ugh. If anyone could tell me, it would really just bring me joy. All right,
those. I don't have any other thoughts on their situation. Although the other notes I have for Alex is. It was funny in the opening scene when Mark was like, I'm incredible. And Alex is like, congratulations, sir. You're incredible. And Mark is like, do not fucking interrupt me. You peasant bitch. Like, why is he still
fawning
over his affection? He doesn't even want to be on plastics anymore. It seems like he wants to
be very funny.
The pediatrics or the baby, what is it?
He wants OB. To be on,
OB. That, yeah. Thank you.
When was the last time we even like saw Alex be a doctor? Truly.
That's a good question.
I really cannot remember.
Oh, he had a surgery in this episode. He did a doctor
thing. When have we seen him that it was like a plot point? Do you know what I mean? Like I honestly cannot remember.
He had to force the guy to poop. He did that thing. Force a guy to shit.
Don't you just like love it when you have to go to medical school and just to tell somebody to poop?
Listen, they could pay me however much they want. I'll tell anyone to poop. Poop right now. Kelsey, go
poop.
Poop
right now. Poop. Don't tell me when to poop.
I'm your doctor. I have to. It's part of my job.
I'll send, ass bitch.
I'll send you a bill for $6,000.
Oh, that would be America.
Go poop.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. What are we talking about?
I think we were talking about Mark and Han.
Okay, yes, that was funny, but annoying. And you know I love Mark, but I'm like, dude, read the room.
Yeah.
Read the room. I like when she put him in his place the first time. The second time was unnecessary, but still funny.
So, yeah, I'm trying to remember. So the first time.
She's like, can you help? And he's like, can you get a drink with me? And
yes.
She's like, this is time sensitive. I need a yes or no. And he's like, so do I. And she's like, fuck you. I will go find whoever is next in line because this is too annoying. And then he says yes. And then in the surgery, she's like, oh, good technique. And he's like, I was so sad when my mentor died. And she's like, I actually don't give a fuck about you.
That's right. Yeah. What was the exact quote? I said, she's not looking for a window into your wounded soul.
Yeah.
A bit harsh.
I love her.
From Han. It was funny, but like,
quite funny.
I didn't get a vibe he was hitting on her there. I mean, maybe Mark always has an ulterior motive.
I mean, I wouldn't say hitting on her, but like definitely. I mean, it's what she says. She's like, I was complimenting your technique, not looking for a window into your wounded soul. Like she was just being like, oh, cool. Like I've never seen that done. That's actually really impressive. Like you are, in fact, the best. And he's like, I mean, he definitely took it too far. Like he could have been like, oh, this is who I got to study under. It was like really cool getting to work with him. And I loved learning from him. But then to be like, he was like a father to me. He died and I was just torn up for weeks. Couldn't sleep. Couldn't
still
eat.
Torn up. This was 10 years
feels
ago.
So
still
sad
torn
in
up.
My heart. And then, I mean, I just thought it was funny.
The only thing that can stave off the sadness is a drink with you, Dr. Han.
And then some sex, probably.
While drinking. Mm. We cheers to each other while mid-orgasm.
Yikes. Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about with Han? She's funny.
No,
she's funny,
I think
but
it was
she's
funny. Yeah.
She was
tolerable this episode because again, she wasn't like justifiably mean to anybody. I don't think like she was just fine. Izzy was trying to get on the surgery and she kind of like leaned into Christina being on the surgery and sent Izzy off to get Callie to do the shrapnel. Sorry.
It's okay.
But other than that, yeah, I don't think she was really doing anything crazy. She was just kind of like, I mean, she kind of made an offhand comment to Izzy like, oh, if you can tear yourself away from the family long enough, go do this and such. And then Izzy was just like kind of doing the Izzy thing of like being very emotionally connected to the family.
This is for Jacob, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I do want to point out. Have you seen him in anything before? Do you have anything that? Well, I guess we'll figure out in Crash Into Me Part One, in parentheses two, for living in Shondaland. If this person's in another Shonda show, but he was in Suits, so him and Katherine Heigl have existed in a universe together. They were not in the. She was not on the show when he was in it, but he was.
Was he on it for several episodes?
He was on it for. I think he comes back, maybe two or three episodes total.
Yes, he has a little arc.
Yeah. He was a CPA who never went to school. He like faked it, but he's a genius. Mm-hmm. So he gets caught and then he gets fired. It's sad. Spoiler alert. But yeah, that's all I got for him. Just want to point that out.
Cool.
Anything else you want to talk about before we wrap this up? I think we've gotten all the next one's going to be all ambulance bullshit.
Yeah, I think the next one's the one that you guys really want to hang out for. So thanks for listening to this one. Just go ahead and click play next on your little phony phone or your little computy poot. And you just hear us run our mouths some more about this show.
Because you love us.
As you should.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago, yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy.
But Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.